talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. As usual, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And as usual, the third caller today gets a free Devil Radio t-shirt, designer t-shirt, designed by Crudy himself. A lot to talk about, and let's get started. The House now has to vote again on the coronavirus relief package. We call it a $1.9 trillion package, and it is, although some of the unemployment comp got reduced from 400 a week to 300, but then they inserted a tax break up to $10,000. You don't have to pay taxes on that income, so that restores a lot of it. There are other tweaks, but by and large, it's still roughly around that amount. That's how we're going to refer to it, the $1.9 trillion relief bill. Now, why do they have to vote on it again? They have to vote on it again because they passed it in the form that the House passed it. It had the minimum wage of $15 an hour. It had unemployment comp at $400 a week. It had no tax break. It had a lot of things, good and bad, that were stripped out in the Senate, partly because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema would not vote for a $15 an hour minimum wage increase. The parliamentarian had said it was not budget related. The Senate could have overridden that just by majority vote with Kamala Harris, but you have to hold your coalition together and your caucus. And now they are pursuing another way to get to 15. So it has to technically go back after the conference committee between the two of them just irons out any other glitches. And there aren't any, because they got to get it done quick so that the checks can go out by the end of this month. And right now we're moving on to the middle of the month. But what's going to happen back in the House? There were two Democratic congressmen who voted against it to begin with. And these were people from very tough districts, lean Republican, or they could lean Republican. And they were afraid, and it still passed because we have a majority, but it's not a huge majority. We lost about 11 seats when we expected to pick up 10 seats. So we've got a lot of work to do between now and 2022 election. But now there are people on the progressive side who say, well, if it doesn't have 15 an hour in there, and they're trying to do it some other way, we want 15 an hour in there. We want this to be a perfect bill. And the fear is that some of them may vote against it. Here is the math. Here is the sad math. The Democrat, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats can only lose 4 Democratic votes, assuming all the Republicans vote against it. And they will. All the Republicans will vote against it. You're not going to pick up any Republicans. Maybe by stripping out 15 an hour, you will. Who knows? You have to assume you will not. If 5 Democrats vote against it, it's not going to pass. It's not going to pass. Are the 2 moderate Democrats from districts who thought that they should vote against it initially going to still do it? I hope not. I assume what they did was they knew it would pass anyway. The way it goes is they went to Pelosi in private and got down on their knees basically and said, don't retaliate against us, but let us vote against it. So we can go back to our districts and say we voted against it. And she said, okay. This time they ain't going to do that because it ain't okay. And fortunately, the progressives, as I'm reading the tea leaves, some of their leadership of the progressive caucus are saying, well, it ain't perfect, but it's the most progressive bill that has been passed in the House. It will be. since Franklin Roosevelt. Now, that's somewhat true. I'd have a lot to say about the Civil Rights Act of 1964. There's a lot of other very progressive bills, but this is a big one. And financially, it probably is. Although, how about Medicare and Medicaid? How about that? You think that's not progressive? Are you kidding me? It had to break arms to push those through. Take a lot for granted. But this is certainly one of the most progressive bills. The progressives would be crazy to vote against it. They would be crazy to vote against it. You occasionally had a guy like, I don't know if you remember Dennis Kucinich of Cleveland. You have a, you know, you have an occasional guy, a malcontent, a troll, lurking at the fringes. We have some of the Republicans have a lot of those. They have Matt Gaetz, they have Hawley, they have Cruz. Oh my God, they have so many congressmen, it isn't even funny. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, they are all trolls lurking at the fringes of the far right. But we have a couple on our side. They had better vote for this bill. I think they will vote for this bill. I think they will vote for this bill. The two moderate Democrats in the House who voted against it before have now produced enough information to counter bad ads against them. They can say, we voted against it. And they stripped it out. I'm not glad they stripped it out. Matt Flynn's not glad they stripped it out, 15 an hour, but that's what they have to boast about in their districts. Go ahead. I think they'll be back on board this time. I think Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and Jim Clyburn, the three top people, will take them into a room and won't let them out till they agree to vote for it. And among the progressives, I think that the progressives in the House are much more pragmatic than similar people elsewhere, and certainly people in European parliaments. They're not ready to burn down the House. I think it will pass. I think it is, to say it's a landmark bill is an understatement. 1.9 trillion in that, I mean, 1.9 trillion, and we already passed one of several trillion. In the last year, we will have passed a larger amount than the budget of the United States as a supplement to fight the coronavirus. And it had to be passed. It has to be passed. Has to be passed, not just because some of it is for vaccines and for the distribution system to make sure that vaccines end up in arms, because if vaccines don't end up in arms, they're no good. Might as well throw them out. Somebody's starving and you need food and you don't give it to them, the food's there, doesn't do any good. You got to get the vaccines into arms. But also, you got to get unemployment supplements. People have been laid off, a lot of people. There are a lot of people filing every week for unemployment comp. They're looking for work. They're looking for part-time work. They're looking for minimum wage work. They'll string together two jobs, three jobs. They'll string together three jobs in the gig economy, the part-time economy, just to make ends meet. And sometimes they still have to go to food pantries. And sometimes they don't have enough money to buy food. Some of them would be evicted if it weren't for the eviction moratorium. But a lot of landlords are not the big guys. A lot of landlords maybe own a fourplex or two fourplexes or two duplexes, and they maintain it themselves and they're good landlords. If their tenants are not paying rent for many months, how do those smaller landlords pay property taxes? How do they pay for maintenance? How do they pay for a plumber? They try to do their own plumbing. Pipe bursts in the cold, needs a new roof. Something happens that's unsafe. The boiler goes down, furnace goes down. They got to have it replaced. They got to pay for that. This will provide some relief for them. How about small business? Restaurants. Well over half the restaurants in this country will go under as a result of this pandemic anyway. And in the first go around, a lot of fraud occurred when Trump was president. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. Okay, we're going to hold off on the break. We are going to hold off on the break. Luke is mesmerized by this presentation. Luke is mesmerized. And so I am going to continue for Luke's benefit as well as everybody else's benefit. When Trump was president and they put the last coronavirus relief package together, he insisted it go through banks. So what do you think happened with the banks? Without any instructions, they gave it to their lender, to their borrowers. You know, well, here, we've got a little cash. You want some? A Fortune 500 got some. A hedge fund where the number one guy got $19 million a year, the number two guy got $17 million a year, and it was his brother. And they got money because they said they had to pay their secretary. How much did they pay their secretary? What, 50 grand a year? 30 grand a year? Could it come out of their 19 million, maybe? You know, think, maybe. Other people put in and said they had restaurants and they didn't. There wasn't, it was fraud. It was Trump University. You can't have Trump, you can't have fraud. With Biden, it ain't going to be that way. Very stringent anti-fraud provisions. Very stringent anti-fraud provisions. So it's a great bill. It has to get through. The progressives have got to vote for it. They've got to vote for it, and I think they will. Coming up on a break, lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.